Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Graceland Cemetery in Knoxville is a natural and historical treasure. Let's go in-depth with Lois Akins, retired teacher, Knoxville. Lois, we're at Graceland Cemetery, and everybody tells me you're an expert in the history of the cemetery and some of the people that are buried here.
Well, I don't know about being an expert, but Jess Brooks knew an awful lot about it, and he told me all about it.
Well, we're at the entrance, so we're here by Auld Chapel. What do you know about that?
Well, Auld Chapel was supposed to have been built by Mr. Auld's wife in memory of him. That there seemed to be an awful lot of money. And I'm wondering if Auld Park is paid for by the same people. This place was only used once for a chapel. And then the cemetery or the funeral people started putting tents over the graves.
And do you know what it's used for now?
Yes, it's storage for the flags, for the cans that have the flags in that go down the flag down this way and out this way. For the flag, what do they call it, Avenue of Flags on the holidays. And the bottom part that built on, and it has the equipment in it.
And do you know when it was built?
No, I don't. I expect I could find out if I go to the courthouse, but I don't know when it was built.
Well, where would you like to go from here?
Now, this section back here to the south of this park has three Robinson boys buried in it. And these were the boys that were very, very tall, and they became known as the Robinson Giants. And there were three of them buried right in this area.
And they were over
7 feet
tall?
And they joined the circuses and the child shows because they were so tall. And Robinson Street's named after that family. Now, if you want to go around this way and up on the hill, the governor's buried up there.
Okay, well, let's go there.
And you can see from here, well, I'll wait till you stop. Straight up. Now, I don't know much about this. I think one person has been buried here, and then when his wife died, she didn't want to be buried here in this, so they buried her in California. So I think this building is just for one tomb.
Okay, so it's now, a large vault, Elliott's
yeah.
the name.
Now right ahead of us is the circle, and those when this cemetery was put out, it was put out like a park, and each family could come in and buy a whole circle. Well, this is the Mater Circle, and it goes right around the road there. See, there's a Mater back there in the Bellamy.
Some prominent Knoxville families.
Yes. And right up here on the right is a flag, and that's Dixie Gebhardt's grave, and she's the one that designed the Iowa flag. And these Cornells that are buried around here are her family. Right here on the left, and the gravestone with the flag, that's Governor Stone, William Stone, that was governor here right after the Civil War. And his wife is buried on this side of him, and his brother's on the other side. The one where this broken, the top's been broken off, that's Governor Stone's brother. Now, the gravestone this way, and just a little over, that's A-Y-R-E-S, I think it's spelled. And that's what Governor Stone married into that family. Now, this is a whole circle here. And when they built this, or platted it out, they thought they'd have all circles. But they started running out of room. So they had to let the grass grow in the roads around the circles, and then they started filling up graves.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about Governor Stone?
Governor Stone was governor here, and he lived down on, I think it's Robinson Street. He had two houses. He went from one, and then he was a governor. He was a big guy in the Civil War. Then he moved from that house down to a little farther east where Lois Hellman used to live. And they had a big party after he became the governor. and they had too many people and a little bit too much to drink, and the floor gave in, and they all fell into the basement. And you can go there yet and see the basement where they had repaired the floor.
Was everybody okay?
I guess so. I don't know. That was before my time, about 1865, 64, something like that.
Well, let's hope they were all okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Lois Akins.
Now, if you go this way.
Okay. Governor, before we leave, Governor Stone's monument looks much more recent than his brother. Is it a replacement?
Well, I don't know what happened there. I know when I was doing my family history, I stopped in Anamosa, Iowa, and they found out I was from Knoxville, and he asked me to come out here and look at his brother's stone, that he would have it fixed. But that's been 25 years, and he hasn't done anything about it.
Okay, any other prominent?
Not right here that I know of. I guess there's a Brooks that's buried in this area, but I couldn't find her left. Couldn't find him last night. The Brooks was a big judge here. Now, down here, just behind the dark tree, there are three old military stones. Just behind this, right here, where the flag, on down, where the flag is, there's three old military stones there on the left, right there. Okay. One of them is Walter Ream. Walter Ream was a soldier training in Oskaloosa for the Spanish-American War, and he fell in love with the mayor's daughter in Oskaloosa. The mayor said, leave my daughter alone, but he didn't. He ended up in Compitine Cemetery out here east of town. Well, everything was about the same as it would be for anybody that's buried until the railroad wanted to come in. When the railroad wanted to come in, they wanted to come in right through where the cemetery was. So they dug up a lot of the graves, and a lot of them they missed. But his was one that when they dug it up, it was petrified, and the people were so afraid that the circus or some sideshow would steal it. So they took him out northeast of town and hid him in a barn for 6 weeks with guard. And then they brought him out here and buried him there in the middle of the night.
Well, did he wind up in the cemetery originally because of the threat of the...
Yeah, he got killed. He got killed over there. Mayor told him to stay away from his daughter, and he wouldn't do it. He didn't do it, and so he ended up in the cemetery.
Do we know any more of the circumstances?
Well, there's a... If you go to the papers in the museum, 1932 had a centennial, and they had a big article about it. And he was so petrified perfectly that even the insignia on the buttons were perfect. The hair on his head and everything was just perfect. And they think he was buried in a stream of mineral water. But there are still some graves out at Compitine. When we did that, like we surveyed this, when we surveyed Compitine Cemetery, we had to dig down and get the dirt off of the stones.
And so do you think they're everybody there's petrified?
There's still some people there. Well, I don't know if they're any more petrified or not, but they said that this one must have been laying in the petrified stream of mineral waters.
And the circus was a threat.
Yeah, or the sideshows, you know, that's about all the entertainment they had back in the 1800s. Now, if you go on down, well, you can see it from here. Right straight over here. In the VA Cemetery. It really isn't the VA Cemetery. It's part of Graceland's, but it's known as Slaughterback. And the road used to go here and then north and then back into 14. But when they tried to put the road straight through, it cut Graceland apart. So that piece over the VA, right behind the trees here, belongs to Graceland.
Well, I had no idea.
Well, you won't see it. Well, you can see it as you come down. But it's just about right between that, behind that tree.
So if you just look to the north, mm-hmm. coming into town mm-hmm. From the west,
yeah.
you'll see.
It isn't very well taken care of. Well, it's very well taken care of, but the stones have fallen over.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Lois Akins.
You want to go on down a little ways farther down, just this side of the flag?
Okay.
And we'll stop at the, yeah. Now, starting where the soldiers are buried, that land was bought by a bunch of veterans from World War II. It starts right here. And they came out here and they bought this land. Shawmer Abbott was one of them, and they buried these veterans at the hospital, and veterans that don't have a grave, they'll bury them right here. And because they're flat graves and they can't have flowers on them, that flag flies all the time for the veterans that are buried here.
So that's in honor of them, then,
yes.
rather than any
yes.
memorial?
A sister of one of them complained that there could never be a flag on her brother's grave. And so I went to American Legion and asked them if they would, and they said yes. And it's up here all the time.
And so these are mainly World War II vets?
Yeah. Well, anybody that died at the VA hospital.
Oh, I see.
See, at one time they did have a lot of patients at the hospital. Anybody that died there and had no family that could be buried there. But a lot of these are World War II vets. Some, I know there's one here that was Vietnam War. And if you want to go on down here and clear south, I think we can find a couple more over there.
Okay.
But that flag doesn't come down. It did come down one time because somebody stole it. But I think they've shortened. They thought they had fixed it so they wouldn't anybody steal the flag. They want a flag that bad, if they come to me, I'll buy it for them. Now, if you turn to the left here and go to the far road.
Do you know when the cemetery had its first grave here?
Somewhere before the 1900s, or somewhere in the late 1800s. I never really looked it up. I should look it up, but I haven't. Now, people don't want to be, according to Jess Brooks, reburied right in here because it's so wet. In the lowlands, but they take very good care of the cemetery. Up here on, well, it's right along in here somewhere, there's a burial of E.O. Osborne on the north side of the road here.
The poet.
And E.O. Osborne, he had a drugstore. I think it might be a little farther up, but he had a drugstore here in town, and he wrote poetry for the newspaper every week. Is that when Osborne?
No. I see Kissinger, Harding.
But it's right along here, on the right along the edge on the north
there
side.
It is.
And at one time, they made a book of all his poetry, but I don't imagine anybody can get a hold of a book now, because that's been 40 years ago. There might be one of the books of his poems in the Historical Society. I don't know. I belong to that, but I don't work on it. I'm too old. 85, Tunkwit. Now, up here on the right is Jesse Adams. And in the schoolhouse out here, she brought that into town. And her grave is just at the end of this road right up here.
So she was a teacher or a school administrator?
She was a teacher years and years ago, but after she retired, she found that this schoolhouse, it was southwest of Knoxville, and that schoolhouse she brought in and called it the Little Red Schoolhouse. Well, the schoolhouse had never been red, but out in New England, they had a lot of schoolhouses that were red, because I read in the magazine that red paint was a lot cheaper than white, and she's buried up here on the right.
And so she was a much beloved teacher?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. She's way before my time. She wasn't teaching when I started teaching here. But I've been retired 23 years, so. It's Adams. It's a big stone. It's just Adams Davis. This is right here. And that's the lady that brought the schoolhouse in. And right now they're covering the schoolhouse with new siding, and it's going to be white again. Because the schoolhouse was originally white. And if you go on up, well, it don't move yet. If you would go up to that road and down on the south side of the road, almost to the end, is Dr. Wittenberg's. Mr. and Mrs. Wittenberg were chiropractors here for years. And then their son became a chiropractor, and he retired and went to Arkansas. He has died now. But other than that, I don't know that there's any others out here. I know there are a lot of Bropes, and there were a lot of the Bropes people were judges.
A family of judges?
Family of judges.
Fathers and sons? Any lady judges back
then?
Yeah,
I think so.
Fathers
think
and
so.
Sons. Mm-hmm.
There were others. Most of the streets in Knoxville are named after these older people who did a lot for the Knoxville people.
And any other tombstones of any note?
Not that I know of. Now, Kay Smith told me that the Bropes grave is in that old section somewhere, but I couldn't find it, and I couldn't find which Bropes it was. There were so many of them.
Now, what got you interested in Graceland Cemetery?
What? Well, back in the 70s, just before the centennial, the Genealogy Society decided to go through the cemeteries in Marion County and make a book. And I expect you've seen the book.
Yes.
And then we wrote down, like this one, I did almost all of this one with somebody else helping here and there. My husband got a little upset about that because I was gone so much. But it was mostly summer, and I would just go in the evenings after school. One time, it was right up there with those big tall trees, and it was just about dark. And I thought, well, I'll turn on my flashlight and I'll finish this row so I know where to start tomorrow. Boy, the lights came from that way and from this way, and the police were after me. And we thought we'd found the guy that knocked over the tomb. I said, oh, I was not here for that. I was writing down the names, but I have a notebook and a flashlight if you'd let me help him finish this row. They left. They left. It took years. It took a long, long time. We have 100-something cemeteries in Marion County. Now, they're not all as big as this. Pella did a lot of their own. They have a Graceland, and they have several other cemeteries, and they did their own. But they're in the book, too.
And how many tombstones did you record here? Do you remember?
Ooh, I don't know. I'd come out early in the morning. My husband worked at Firestone. I'd come out early in the morning, bring me something to eat. We'd eat, and we'd start out again. We'd just go by rows. We'd go down another row and another row. And then we had to come back and check all of that to make sure it's all right. Then we had to find somebody to type it. Then it had to be reevaluated, and it was a big job, but we got it done.
Would you do it all over again?
Not now, because I'm not able to walk more than a couple blocks. But yes, if I were younger, yes, I would.
It was all worthwhile.
I would do it again if I were in my 50s or 40s, 50s, 60s. But after 80, I couldn't have done it.
And what rewards did you get out of that effort?
Oh, you just, well, you know, when you're out here, you're top guy. Nobody tells you what to do. Nobody complaining. You're the top person. That makes you feel good.
Thanks to Lois Akins for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com. On demand or for download, just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIA KRLS.